Blog Talk Radio. Morning. Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking the Clown radio show. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I thank you so much for joining me today. For those of you that have been following me on social media, I have on a clown suit, and the message on the graphic that I have is God laughs at his enemies. And God gave me a very unique and fun way to share the gospel in love. And the purpose of In the Clown radio show is to share the gospel in a very kind of funny way, to show that we can laugh and have fun. But the deeper message here is the enemy has been laughing and mocking God's people for a very long time. And it appears as if he has been getting away with the things that he has been doing to God's children. But the word of God tells us that God will laugh at his enemies. So the message that I'm going to share today is going to be dealing with the mocking spirit. And today's message is entitled, Aha, Aha, Exposing the Mocking Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start with Nehemiah, the second chapter, and beginning at the first verse. And the foundational scripture will be found in verse 19. But I want to just give an overview of this chapter so that we can understand what's happening and why mocking spirit was the topic of discussion today. So beginning at first verse, Nehemiah, the second chapter in the first verse. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not before time sat in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what doest thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come to Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave the king's letter, gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. We're going to bookmark verse 10. When they heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung court, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain into the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us arise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? So answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. So may God add a blessing to the reading here and the application of his word. And Father, I pray that you will release revelation knowledge as I share this message on Aha, Aha, exposing the mocking spirit. So in this text, the first thing that I want to bring out is when Nehemiah went before the king, his countenance was sad. And you couldn't go before the king with a sad countenance. You could get in trouble. So the king asked him, what's going on? And Nehemiah was honest with his response. Seeing Nehemiah did, Nehemiah prayed to God. And then he presented his petition to the king. And in Nehemiah's request, Nehemiah was very, very specific with God. He was very, very specific with the king with what he wanted. So God wants us to be specific when we go to him in prayer. Nehemiah was specific, and he was very strategic with everything that he asked for, because he knew what he was getting ready to do was going to be very challenging, and there were some things that he was going to need. He was going to need some supplies, So he asked for the letters. He asked for the supplies that he would need. And he also needed protection on his travels. So Nehemiah is en route to go do the work that God called him to do. And the word tells us that Tobiah and Sanballat, they didn't even see what Nehemiah was doing. And Nehemiah was very careful not to reveal what he was doing, and he didn't say anything to anybody until the set time came when God released him to share it with them. So as of this very moment, whatever God is doing in your life, don't tell anybody what you were doing. When you go to observe the broken down walls or wherever you are going, because God is sending his people to restore the waste places. So part of this message, I want you to hold on to: the waste places shall be restored. And while you are restoring the waste places like Nehemiah, that mocking spirit is going to come up against you, and the enemy is going to laugh at you, and the enemy is going to despise you, and the enemy is going to be all up in your business, and he don't even have a right to be there or to be concerned about what you was doing. But when you're dealing with a mocking spirit, you're also dealing with a spirit of scorn and great disdain, which we're going to get into that. But for right now, a mocking spirit makes fun of your God-given identity and purpose in your life. A mocking spirit is sent on assignment to distract you. So in verse 19, which is our key verse, and I'm going to read it one more time. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Tobiah and Sanballat, they were sent on assignment to distract Nehemiah through the spirit of resistance and opposition. Have you been feeling opposition? Have you been feeling resistance when you go to pray and you go to praise God, you try and worship God, and it's like really, really hard? You got to press your way in, and even with the work that God has given you to do. And if you're not experiencing resistance, then it's God is really, really with you. But, and not to say that God is not with you if you're experiencing resistance, but when we are truly doing God's work, we are going to feel the resistance, and we're going to experience great opposition, which Nehemiah did. So operating in the scorn, in the scornful mocking way that caused them to despise Nehemiah, they laughed him to scorn. And the reason they laughed at Nehemiah, and the reason that the enemy even laughs at us and mocks us, is because the enemy wanted to distract Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls. The enemy, the purpose of the laughter and being scorned and mocked was to discourage Nehemiah. If we tease him long enough, he's going to feel so bad, he's not going to feel like he's qualified or able to complete this task. But they couldn't stop the work that Nehemiah was doing because God's hand was strong upon Nehemiah, and Nehemiah refused to be distracted. So key prayer number one, we must not submit to the distractions. When the distractions come, when the laughter comes, when the scorn comes, when the mocking comes, when they come to despise you, stop, drop, and pray. With the fire department, when we learned how, when it was a fire, we were told to stop, drop, and roll. But when the enemy is coming at after you that way, just stop, drop, and pray. And give it to God. But don't get distracted. Don't give in to what they're doing, because the moment you get discouraged, the spirit of heaviness is going to come in. And once the spirit of heaviness comes in, not only are you going to be discouraged, you're going to have great despair, you're going to get depressed, and then that woe is me is going to come out. So we don't want to submit to the discouragement. Matthew 18:18 tells us that whatever we bind on earth, that means whatever we render powerless, we forbid it to operate on this earth, and it is forbidden in heaven. And we must learn how to use God's word in every situation in our life. So we want to bind the spirit of discouragement, which the strong man is the spirit of heaviness. So what is a distraction? And what is distracting you from your purpose? Remember, I said that a mocking spirit, the purpose of the mocking spirit, is to make fun of your God-given identity in life. And the purpose is to limit you from doing the things that God has called you to do. The purpose is to stop you from building the walls. So distraction is something that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. It could be, it could be a job, it could be a project, it could be your vision, your goal. It could be everything that God has told you to do. And it's whatever God told you to do, it's not about anybody else. It's about you and God. So be obedient and do what God told you to do. And if you are experiencing opposition and resistance, if you are experiencing a lot of distractions, go to God in prayer and let him know what is happening and let God lead you. But let us follow Nehemiah's instructions, because Nehemiah went to God in prayer. So a distraction can be a diversion, it can be an interruption, a disturbance, an interference, even a hindrance. It can be extreme agitation of your mind or emotions. Now, distractions come in all shapes and sizes. It comes in all different colors. Distractions come in a variety of flavors. And it's really based on the things that you like. It's based on the things that you don't like. It's based on the things that turn you on, and it's based on the things that turn you off. And I'm breaking it down like that because the enemy is watching you just like they was watching Nehemiah. Now, the word tells us that they didn't see Nehemiah. They only heard. So they wasn't even on site yet. They heard what Nehemiah was doing. And they got intimidated by the man of God because they knew that he was walking in a power and authority that God had given unto him, and that he received permission from the king. So keep in mind, when you get permission from God to do the work that God has called you to do, somebody going to get mad at you because they don't feel as though you're entitled to be in that position. So they are going to come up against you. But everything that I just shared with you, the enemy is watching you, observing you. The enemy is keeping track of the things that you are doing, especially the things that irritate you, the things that make you angry, the things that you lust after, the things that make you happy, and the things that hurt and upset you. And this is done through the monitoring and familiar spirits that watch and track you in the spirit. And they are very strategic with learning and observing you, because they go back and they report it to headquarters, where a greater attack is launched against you based on the things that they have observed about you. So the familiar spirit is going to observe you, it's going to watch you, and then it's going to use the things that you do, the things that you like and the things that you don't like, to use against you. And that's where we need to get more strategic with tearing down all demonic and satanic walls that have been erected against us, and shut down every monitoring and every tracking spirit. So for those of you that have been attending the Thursday night prayer line in the midnight cry, when we've been doing the prayer at 12 o'clock midnight, we have been talking about the monitoring spirit. And it's very important that we understand how to effectively fight with the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what or who is distracting you today? Let's go back to Nehemiah 2:19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? So right with that question, they was mocking Nehemiah. But they really wasn't mocking Nehemiah. They was really mocking God. And I hope you hear the passion in my voice, because when the enemy comes to mock you, when the enemy comes to taunt you and laugh you to scorn, when the enemy comes to despise you, you do not have to defend yourself, because the Holy Ghost is your minister of defense. God will defend you. They are not laughing at you. They are really laughing at God. And that's why the title of the message is Aha, Aha, Exposing the Mocking Spirit. But God later on laughs at the enemy, and he has the last laugh. And God is the one that say, Aha, Aha. So I don't know about you. There were times in my life when the enemy laughed at me and they mocked me, and I didn't respond the way I respond now, because I did not understand that the minister of defense was the Holy Spirit and that he would defend me. So there were times where I retaliated and I said some things that I shouldn't have said, and I got caught up in my emotions. And I don't feel bad about that, because it was a learning process. Is with us all the time. One name for God is El Roi. God is the God that sees all things. God sees everything that we do. He sees the opposition. He sees the resistance. He knows those that are mocking us. And guess what? When people mock us, it's not always the people mocking us. Sometimes we mock people. There have been times where we have laughed at other people. There's been times where we have despised people and we have laughed them to scorn. So we need to repent and ask God to forgive us, because in our ignorance, we didn't know any better. And being honest, sometimes we did know better, and we simply didn't care. We laughed at somebody. Look at him. Look at her. Where's she going with that hat on? You know, we always have something to say. You know, we want to criticize and tear people down, but that's the opposite of what God said in his word. We are supposed to edify one another and build each other up, not tear each other down, which brings me to put down. When people want to put you down, when people want to speak negative about you, and they hide behind, oh, I was only playing, I'm just joking with you. No, they're not joking. They blatantly disrespecting you in your face, and they making a joke out of it because they are mocking you. And keep in mind, they are not mocking you. They are mocking God. And you do not have to defend yourself, because the Holy Spirit will defend you. He is your minister of defense. So do you just lay there? Do you just sit there? Do you just stand there and take it? No, you do not. We're going to take these words. What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? So we're going to take those words like it was a fiery dart being aimed at us, because that's exactly what it was. But in Ephesians 6:16, which was our foundational scripture last night for the midnight cry, hour of prayer, we have to use the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So when they said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? So Nehemiah still, he just doing what he's doing, and he did not entertain what they were saying. So when we start entertaining what the enemy is saying and what the enemy is doing, we're going to get distracted. Rebuke the enemy. Don't get caught up talking with the enemy. Shut it down. When that fiery dart comes, send it back to the sender. Cause it to backfire and return a hundredfold return. Now, back in the Roman times with the Roman soldiers, when they had on a shield, the shield was very big, and it really like covered their whole body. And so when they were in warfare, a lot of times the soldiers, they came like side by side. All of the soldiers put their shields up, and they would wet their shields. And the purpose of the water was to put the fire out from the fiery dart that was coming at them. And I kind of shared a little bit about that last night. So when the soldiers wet their shields and the fiery dart came, the fiery dart, the fire on the dart, when it hit the wet shield, it was quenched. It was extinguished. So the shield did not catch on fire. So the soldiers did not catch on fire. So what is God saying right here? We must learn how to use our shield of faith. We don't carry shields like the Roman soldiers did back then, but our shield is the word of God. Our shield is our faith. Your faith is your trust and your confidence in God. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And in Luke 10:19, God said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means harm you." So understanding that, when the fiery darts come, we don't cower in fear. We don't back up in fear. We quench the fire. When the enemy is speaking negative words to you and is threatening you, you simply rebuke it, you bind it, and you send it on back, and you go on about your business. Because if you don't, you're going to get distracted. So whenever distractions are present, rest assured that the spirit of opposition will be present. Now, opposition is resistance expressed in action or argument. It is to be hostile or antagonistic towards someone. When someone opposes you, they really are disapproving of you, and they're disapproving of the work that you were doing, which is the case with Tobiah and Sanballat. They didn't even have any business being in Jerusalem or being concerned, because they had no right. They wasn't part of that. So they was minding, you know, they was being busybodies, minding other people's business. So Tobiah and Sanballat, they became very critical, and they tried to demoralize Nehemiah. And a lot of times the enemy is trying to demoralize us. And there are four things that I want to bring out in this text, and then we're going to come to a close. And I thank you so much for joining me. If anything said has been a blessing to you so far, if you have a comment or if you have a question, please press #1, and I will be taking some comments after I finish with this teach. So when the enemy heard, what Nehemiah was doing, they did four things. And the first thing they did was they laughed them to scorn. So I want to give some scriptures to you, and please follow up and read these scriptures at your own time. And again, our foundational scripture was found in Nehemiah, the second chapter. And so the scriptures I'm going to share to support that enemy, Tobiah and Sanballat, they laughed Nehemiah to scorn. And that is found, in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the 54th verse, and then Psalms 37 in the 13th verse. Now, in Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, it says, "There is a time to weep, and there is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn, and there is a time to dance." And Psalms 37 and verse 13, it says, "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." And so the foundational scripture is found in Nehemiah, the second chapter in the 19th verse. And when I started out, I was explaining why this show is called the Eloquently Speaking the Clown radio show. And God gave me this whole concept because enemy loves to mock and laugh at his people, which they're really laughing at him. So I love to be very creative with the work that God has given me to do. So I said, "God, you know, this clown is really speaking to me. So I want you to use this clown in a unique way to mock the enemy. And by mocking the enemy, I'm sending it back to him." And all of these episodes, all of these broadcasts, all of the messages that God is going to speak through me, it's going to be empowering God's people. It's going to expose the works of the enemy and teach you how to use the weapons of your warfare that are not carnal but mighty through God. It's going to teach you how to use the shield of faith. It's going to teach you about the armor of God. See, a lot of times we going through warfare and we experiencing resistance and opposition, but we not using the weapons that God has given to us. So going back to Ecclesiastes, this is so good because it says it's a time to weep and it's a time to laugh and it's a time to mourn and it's a time to dance. So for those of you that are listening, I want you to dance with me today because the word of God tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And it also says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So we have been in a season of weeping. We have been in a season of mourning. And I also did a teach on Matthew's, the fifth chapter, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So why am I bringing that up right now? And why am I getting excited? I'm getting excited because where we have been weeping and we are the body of Christ, because we've been experiencing great hardships, great turmoil, the enemy has been mocking us. We've been feeling opposition and resistance. We're trying to do the work that God has called us to do. And we have wept. We have cried some tears. And the good news is we about to laugh. You see, we got to understand what season we are in. And we don't need to get mad at Tobiah and Sanballat. When they come up against us, when they laugh at us, when they mock us, and when they despise us, guess what? That means that you are on schedule. That means that you are on point. You are right where you need to be. Because if you wasn't putting a dent in the enemy's camp, let me tell you something. Tobiah and Sanballat wouldn't even be bothering you. You would not be a threat to the enemy's kingdom. But because you are a threat to the enemy's kingdom, the enemy, he strategically sends Tobiah and Sanballat to come and mock you. And the purpose of the mockery is to discourage you, to cause you to get off the wall and leave your assignment. Don't pray today. You know that prayer ain't even working. You've been calling out to God. Where's your God at now? You standing at the front of the Red Sea, looking at all this water, and Pharaoh and his army coming behind you. Ha, 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 ha. What you going to do now? Let me see what you going to do. Where's your God at? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Because that's exactly what the enemy has been doing. But again, aha, aha, the joke was on the enemy, and God had the last laugh. Because when Moses lifted up his rod, God opened up the Red Sea. And Moses and the Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea. They crossed on dry land, and they didn't go empty-handed. Before they left Egypt, God blessed them with the spoil of the Egyptians. So right there, we need to rejoice because we got everything we need. We have everything we need right now before God opened up our Red Sea. So let them laugh at you. Let them despise you. Let them mock you because God has the last say. So you need to lift up your rod, which is to speak God's word. Our shield of faith will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So they laughed them to scorn was the first thing they did. The second thing that they did, they despised Nehemiah. So despise is to detest, to dislike someone, and to look down on someone with great disdain. And for a moment, I would just want to talk about Haman and Mordecai, because Mordecai did not bow down to Haman. And Haman, puffed up with pride, arrogant, haughty, he was filled with great disdain. And he despised Mordecai. Everybody else in all of the province bowed down to him, but this one man refused to bow down to him. So he got angry, and that antagonistic spirit and that control spirit,
everything that he tried to do to move Mordecai and to cause Mordecai to bow down to him, it didn't work. So Mordecai was like, you could despise me all day long. I love God. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to bow down to you. So who's looking down on you today? Maybe your boss looks down at you on the job. Maybe your coworkers look down on you. And when people despise you, feel like you're worthy enough to do what you've been called to do. So in the workplace, somebody may be jealous of the work that you are doing, and they may feel like they could do it better. And in church, we always have like rivalry and competitions, and especially when it comes to singing and praise and worship. We can have an anointed worship leader that is ordained by God to do praise and worship. And then we may have a singer, you know, a member on the team. They can sing and they're gifted to sing, but the anointing of God is not upon their life. So they're going to get angry and despise the one that's anointed by God when they have no right to. If you want that anointing that that person has, which you can't have what belongs to somebody else, but if you really want to be used by God for the right reasons, then do what you need to do. Because the word of God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So when you are a true, genuine worship leader and you love God and you seek in God, it's not just about singing. You see, consecration is a lifestyle. You are praise and worship. You worship God in spirit and in truth. You have a prayer life. You pray when you're home. You praise God when you're home. You worship God when you're home. It's not about I'm going to walk through the doors on Sunday morning and I'm going to start doing praise and worship. No, it's a lifestyle. But yet we have so much competition and jealousy. In the body of Christ, we have to stop all of the foolishness. We have people mocking people in the body of Christ. We have people mocking people from the pulpit in the congregation. How are we supposed to be loving Christians when there's so much hate, when people are despising each other and there's so much jealousy over our spiritual gifts? Nehemiah was a gift to the body of Christ. If Tobiah and Sambalot's heart was right, they would have appreciated the work that Nehemiah was doing. But remember, I said they had no place being there. They had no business being there. So whatever we do, there's always going to be somebody that don't have anything to do with what God is doing in your life, but they're going to be a busybody, and then they're going to have the nerve to despise you. So the cohorts for being despised is the spirit of haughtiness and the spirit of pride are the cohorts. Pride, arrogance, and being condescending. So with King Saul loved David, and he was happy when David was winning all of these wars for him. But when David started getting praised by the people, King Saul began to look down on David. He started being condescending to him, and the jealousy overtook him, and he actually tried to kill David. So we have to be very careful about how we look at other people's success, because that will open up the door for the mocking spirit. It will open up the door for you to despise someone, to become jealous, and for pride to overtake you. You know, when you despise somebody, rest assured that spirit of haughtiness is hiding somewhere. And so we need to ask God to show us any secret sins, any hidden sins that's in our heart, and he will do it. So the third point I want to share with you today, when they mock them by saying, what is this thing that you do? So mock is to tease or laugh at someone. It's to be scornful in a contemptuous manner. So Psalms 35, verse 15 and 16 is the scriptures that I want to share to support point number three. And it says, but in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. So when people are gnashing upon you with their teeth, they're gossiping. They're slandering. They're talking about you. They're saying things to move you, to distract you. And whether we speak life or whether we speak death, whether we speak negative or we speak positive, words are being formed. So when the enemy speaks curses against us, when they speak negative things against us, when they speak death against us, words are being formed. But we have to be mindful that God said that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And you'll find that in Isaiah, the 54th chapter and the 17th verse. So when you get some time, please read from verses 14 to 17 in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, because the word tells us that we have been established in the righteousness of God. And it says that we are far from oppression. But yet we do feel the oppression sometimes. We feel the opposition and we feel the resistance. But in that chapter, in verse 15, it says, surely they shall gather, but not by me. And it also says that they shall fall for thy name's sake. So here we have another promise of God. And all I have to give you is the word of God. I can't give you my own words. I don't have power in my words. I mean, I do because life and death is in the power of the tongue, but you know what I mean. The power is in God's word. When we speak God's word in the atmosphere, guess what? The angels go forth and they hearken to the word of God. When we declare God's word, God steps into our situation and he begins to remove some things, rearrange some things, and set some things in order. When Moses lifted up his rod, my God, he opened up the Red Sea. So today when we lift up our rod, we lift up the word of God. We was praying last night. We was getting it in. And different ones was giving God back his word. And God is pleased when we give him back his word. And when we pray receptive prayers, and receptive prayers is whatever God said in his word, we pray it back to him. So we're prophetically praying the word of God. So that prayer reaches God's throne room. And it touches God's heart. So we have to know the power and the authority that we have with speaking truth, with speaking life. So when the enemy is gnashing upon you with their teeth, again, we don't have to get bothered by the things that they're saying, but because we are human, sometimes some of the things that people say, it hurt us. And you know what? Take it like a champ. Take it like the overcomer that you are. Take it like the more than conqueror that you are, because it's going to hurt for just a moment, and then you're going to speak that word. See, you got to separate the truth from the lies. And all of our problems, every area where we have been defeated, it's because we came into agreement with the lies of the enemy. We let the words that they spoke over us discourage us and take our voice. And when it took our voice, it took our power. So now we're not empowered to pray and praise and worship God or trust God like we used to, because we opened up the door to the spirit of doubt and unbelief. But last week, praise God, we tore down those strongholds of doubt and unbelief, and we loosed the spirit of belief and acceptance. We came into agreement with God's word. So now we rebuking and we casting out the lies of the enemy, and we speaking the truth of God's word. So no weapons formed against us shall prosper. Somebody is speaking negative words against you, incantations, and sometimes you can feel it. A psychic prayer is a prayer. Sometimes you could get a headache, or you get this pain in your head or pain over your eye. It could be a pain in your side, but it just come out of nowhere, out the blue. And sometimes it's an indication that someone is praying against you. Someone is sending a psychic prayer against you. Someone is sending incantations, or they could even be doing the evil dance. And it don't matter what they are doing. God said that no weapons formed against you shall prosper. So I stand on God's word. Let the enemy do what the enemy is going to do. Today, this is about you learning how to fight with the weapons of your warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Once we recognize what the enemy is doing and we learn the tactics of the enemy can't come in like he used to come in. And we shut him down by speaking God's word and causing the curses and the fiery darts to be quenched by the shield of faith. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Zechariah 4 and 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by the spirit of the Lord. It is nothing, 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 nothing that we can do in our own strength. It is by the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord is upon me. The spirit of the Lord is upon me. You can't do this thing on your own. You can't do it without God. Nehemiah knew he could not rebuild the walls without permission from God. And after he got favor with God, he knew he was going to have favor with the king. So when he went to Jerusalem, he went boldly, knowing that no man would be able to stand before him all the days of his life, because God promised him that he would never leave him nor forsake him. But God promised him in Joshua, the first chapter, that every place that his feet tread upon, that it belongs to him. So Nehemiah boldly walked into Jerusalem. Nehemiah boldly stepped into his destiny. You see, he was destined to restore the waste places. Nehemiah was destined to restore the walls of Jerusalem. And he wasn't concerned about the enemy. And even when the enemy came and rose up against him, Nehemiah did not take matters into his own hands, because he understood Isaiah 61. The spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the spirit of the Lord upon you today? Because God said he has set us to open the prison doors, to set the captives free. So share this message with somebody today so that they can get empowered, so that they can recognize the works of the enemy, so that they can learn how to shut the enemy down. So let's go to our last point, which is Tobiah and Sanballat. Thank you, Holy Ghost. They taunted Nehemiah by saying, will ye rebel against the king? So the scripture that I want to use to support that, because they was taunting him, and when somebody is taunting you, it's also connected with mocking you, but they also provoking you. It's like they trying to get a reaction out of you. So God showed me 2 Kings, the second chapter, in the 23rd and the 24th verse. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them. It's a dangerous thing when you taunt God's people. It's a dangerous thing when you mock God's people. It's a dangerous thing when you despise God's people. It's a dangerous thing when you laugh at God's people. Aha, aha. There have been many people laughing at God's children that are on fire for him, God's people that have gone through many storms, God's people that have been walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God's people that have also quoted the scriptures that King David did in Psalms 22 and Jesus quoted in Matthew 26. We all have cried out and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, Jesus, when he was hanging up on that cross, he felt like he was all alone. And David was rejected. David was rejected by Saul, King Saul. David was rejected by his son Absalom. His son Absalom rose up in the spirit of rebellion Ahithophel was one of his trusted counselors. He betrayed him. He turned his back on him. And David knew that God was with him. Jesus knew that God was with him. But in that moment, my God, when David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. And we see the fulfillment of that in the New Testament when Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Are you crying out to God today? Are you making your request known to God today? God did not leave you. God didn't leave Jesus. God didn't leave David. And God didn't leave Nehemiah. Nehemiah put his trust in God, and God showed up right on time. Resistance is the refusal to accept or comply with something, the attempt to prevent something by action or argument. It is to display hostile behavior, unfriendliness, opposition. So as I close, Tobiah and Sanballat were sent on assignment to distract Nehemiah through the spirit of resistance and opposition, and operating in a scornful, mocking way that caused them to despise Nehemiah and laugh him to scorn, hoping that Nehemiah would be discouraged and stop the work that he was doing. But Nehemiah refused to be distracted. May the spirit of the living God release spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word today to all that heard this message and all that will listen to the on-demand copy of this message later. And may the spirit of distraction be destroyed in your life. May every mocking spirit, may every person that is laughing at you, may God remove the scales from their eyes and allow them to see the truth. And may that truth set them free. So my first prayer is going to be for the body of Christ that is operating in the spirit of Tobiah and Sanballat. Father God, we lift our brothers and sisters up in Christ, and we thank you for removing the scales from their eyes. Show them their error, God. Show them what they are doing wrong so that they can humble themselves and repent. Because if they don't, they're about to experience your wrath. They're about to experience you saying, aha, aha. So, Father, we pray for those that do not know you, that are also mocking your people. And, Father, maybe they'll listen to this message today and say, wow, I want to give my life to Christ. I don't want to hurt people anymore. I don't want to mock people. See, sometimes we don't understand what we're really doing until we hear it. So, Father, I pray that you will send whoever needs to hear this message. Let them go to the website. Let them visit my page on Facebook. Let them go to eloquentlyspeaking.com. Father, let me run into somebody today while I'm working. Let those that are listening run into somebody. Father, use this message for a tool for evangelism. Excuse me. Father, use this message for your glory. We thank you, and we give you the honor, we give you the glory, we give you the praise. So in Jesus' name, amen. So thank you so much for joining me today. We will be broadcasting live every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Do we have any comments or any questions? And if not, then I thank you so much for joining me today. This is Stacey Lunsford, and I thank you for listening, and I pray that something said today has blessed you. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you next Monday at 8 a.m. God bless you.